Welcome to Adventures with Scars. I'm your host, Lauren Huffmaster. I've been living with cancer for 7 years, and I choose to use my story to bring change to the experience of cancer. This podcast discusses what I believe are the typical emotional side effects of cancer. Now, what does this mean? Well, that's exactly what we're going to discuss each and every episode. Until we define the experience of cancer, we won't know how to begin looking for the right solutions. Until we define the experience of cancer, each and every patient, survivor, and co-survivor must find his or her own way through. And this is not acceptable. I know we can do better. We can make the experience of cancer better for others. So follow this podcast, share it with your friends, and together, let's find our common ground to pave a path for those who are coming behind us. Today on this episode, we're going to talk about the language of cancer. Now, this is something super important to me because in other aspects of life, we have adopted a person-first philosophy. We don't talk about a handicapped person. We talk about a person with disabilities. Now, this is important because the person is more important than the disability. If we say a handicapped person, we're making the disability more important than the person. Now, we've come to understand this in the life, but in cancer, we haven't gotten there yet. We still talk about a cancer patient. A cancer patient is talking about a disease and the treatment of that disease, cancer patient. Now, nowhere in that title is there room for the person. The person who is living through cancer, the person who is a mom, a dad, a grandmother, an aunt, a child. We're not talking about that at all. We're only talking about the disease and its treatments. And as long as we use this language, we will only understand and we will only look for solutions around the physical nature of cancer. If we're talking about a disease and not a person, well, of course, we can make it scientific. We can break it down into data that will move us forward to cure the cancer. And that is important, of course. But in the meantime, we also need to see the person. We can't continue to look for solutions that are only about disease. We must shift our mentality, shift our mindsets around the cancer experience and begin to see people as people. Now, when we do this, we will get closer to solving the problems around cancer. We'll ask different questions. We'll look for different solutions. And we will know when we're close to the right solution because we're thinking up from the perspective of a person. Language just shapes the way we think. And so we have to start using a language that looks at people who are impacted with cancer. When we look at people, then it'll be easy for us to see, oh yes, that person is also a wife. That person is also a mother. And if that person is impacted by cancer, then we should look at the people around them. We should look at how that disease is impacting the next generation because they're growing up around cancer. We should look at how that disease is impacting relationships, sexual health, all the parts of life that make life full of purpose and gives us value. Because if we disvalue the things that make us human, then what's the point of pushing through this disease anyway? We have to find purpose in this pain and in this disappointment. We have to acknowledge the grieving that patients are going through, that people impacted by cancer are experiencing, because this is life. Life is full of celebration and grief, and we need to be able to embrace this process that happens through cancer. When I talk to people who are going through treatments, they often say it's a roller coaster ride, and I 100% agree. One minute you're celebrating the end of treatment, the next minute you're mourning for a bad scan. It just comes and goes, highs and lows. And we need to know this about the emotional aspect of cancer. It's not just the end of treatment ring a bell. It's the end of treatment, ring a bell. Tomorrow we wake up and what do we do now? How do we put our life back together? How do we know what to expect from our future? The most difficult aspect of cancer is sometimes the season after treatment, and yet no one talks about it. No one looks at what the next season looks like because you're done with the treatment. You're no longer a cancer patient. You no longer have cancer. You're no longer being treated, and therefore you're back to quote unquote normal. But so few people want to go back to quote unquote normal. They don't want to be the person they were before cancer. Cancer shakes us to our core. And it doesn't matter if you have stage 1, 2, 3, or 4, the words "you have cancer" will shake a person. All of a sudden, the ideals you had for your future are no longer secure. Your life is filled with uncertainty, and it doesn't have to be a terrible thing, but it is a process of change. There's a process of grief that comes. But as long as we only see a cancer patient and not a person adjusting to a new life with the possibility of cancer in your present and your future, we won't be able to solve the problems that are really deeply impacting those impacted by cancer. So if we ask the wrong questions, we're going to get the wrong solutions. For example, when a person who is going through treatments thinks about her own life, let me give you an example. Me as a patient, when I was first diagnosed, my children were 2, 4, and 6. What do you think my highest priority was at that moment when I was diagnosed? Was it so that I could get the right nutrition and sleep as much as I could, and I could take care of myself, and I can make sure that I was going to be able to get through the treatments? No, it was about babysitting. It was about me walking through cancer while supporting my kids. It was about whether or not I was too emotional and I was showing that emotion to my kids and somehow confusing them or upsetting them. My concern, my heart was for my family, not even for me first. So if we look at patients as patients and we're looking to solve the problem of fatigue or nausea, of course, we want to minimize those to the greatest extent possible. But we have to see what is the heart of the person going through treatment. What problems are they hoping to get solved? And whatever solutions we present needs to make that patient feel safe. Because the medications that minimize side effects will not make them feel safe. What's going to make them feel safe is when the concerns of their heart are dealt with. So if a mother is impacted by cancer and we calm her fears with tools for she can be a good parent through the cancer process, that will give her peace. That will give her the ability to rest and relax a little bit during the cancer process. If we can provide tools for how she can take care of her family, even when she doesn't have the strength to even take care of herself, then she will relax. She'll be able to follow through with her treatments at a greater extent. She'll be able to take care of herself at a greater extent because she can be sure her family is cared for. But we don't talk about this. We don't talk about the financial implications. We don't talk about babysitting while mom's in chemo. There's so many aspects of being a human, of being a mother and in relationship with others that we don't talk about through cancer. And that is why we don't have the right language. The language is shaping our perspective, our mindset, our experience with cancer. And so while we're doing a good job at finding good medications and medications that minimize side effects, and we're looking at research and we're on a good trajectory for the physical health of a person, we have not begun to tap into what is important for the emotional wellness of a person. And this is where I challenge you. This is where we must begin. Today, now we need to start talking about what supports do people need when they are going through cancer, when they receive a cancer diagnosis? How are we minimizing their isolation? How are we minimizing their fear? What opportunities are we giving them to be a new person, to be a patient well, to do well through treatment, to emerge from the treatment process and re-enter life? How are we supporting those huge milestone moments in the lives of people? So today I want to start with the building blocks of this podcast. On every episode, the themes I want to go over are around building a language that helps us better understand the experience of cancer. Because when we have the right words, we will clarify the problems of cancer. When we have the right problems that really need to be addressed, then we can start considering relevant solutions for these problems. When we find those solutions, those possibilities, then we can finally create effective tools. But without the language, we won't find the problems. Without the problems, we can't find the right, efficient, effective solutions. Without solutions, we'll never build the right tools. And these are the things we need to explore, because billions of dollars are being spent on taking care of cancer patients, but we're not seeing the right problems. This isn't going to cost more money. This is only going to be a matter of answering the right problems, fixing the right problems, seeing people in a new way. And by doing that, we can change the experience of cancer. So consider this as you go into your day, as you talk about your cancer, think about the words you're using. Cancer patient, if that feels good, then use that word. But truly think at the heart of you. Who are you? Have you changed? Has your identity changed through this cancer process? Think about your family. Are they being seen? Are they being heard? Are they being honored as co-survivors of this disease? Use your words to help clarify the process of cancer, the experience of cancer. Because at this moment, the world needs us to speak clearly. I truly believe the industry around cancer wants to hear us. I have experienced that. People who are working and to bring solutions to cancer, they do want to hear us, but we have to use words that they can understand. We have to clarify our stories so that they can truly hear and be a part of the solution. Thank you for listening in to our podcast today. I'll continue to discuss the experience of cancer, discuss the stories of my life and the lives of others. So continue to listen, follow our podcast. We are bringing change to the experience of cancer. If you haven't done it yet, check out AdventureTherapyFoundation.org. This is my nonprofit that serves families impacted by cancer. We have a free cancer coaching program you can check out. This is the place where we're trying to gather what we think are the typical emotional responses to cancer. We have a list of things that we think that every patient is experiencing, and we'd love for you to go on there and just listen to the stories and the solutions around each of these issues. We want to gather research. We want to gather information so we can pinpoint what is a true typical emotional response to cancer that everyone experiences. But we need your help. We need you to tell us your story. So join us, join this movement, join this conversation, and let's together change the experience of cancer.